two women came before wise King Solomon, dragging between them a young man in a designer three-piece suit. "This young CPA agreed to marry my daughter," said one. "No, he agreed to marry my daughter," said the other. And so they haggled before the king until he demanded silence. "My sword, bring me my biggest sword," said Solomon, "and we shall hew the young man in half. Each of you shall receive a half." "Fine, sounds good to me," said the first lady. But the other woman said, "Oh, sire, do not spill innocent blood. Let this other woman's daughter marry him." The wise king did not hesitate a moment. "Indeed, the accountant must marry the first lady's daughter," he proclaimed. "But she was willing to hag him in two," exclaimed the king's court. "Precisely," said wise King Solomon. "That shows she is the true mother-in-law." Two potential mothers-in-law. Which would you want? If this King Solomon was correct in declaring the actual mother-in-law to be the woman willing to cut the young man in two, then mothers-in-law are all apparently cold-blooded, heartless, callous, and cruel. A young man married to such a woman's daughter is apparently in for a life little better than hell. On the other hand, if he could marry the other woman's daughter, presumably he would be happy and content. Life would be good. But according to this Solomon, this is not the destiny for a normal life. For as long as his mother-in-law is in the picture, the man's life would be a nightmare. Once she has passed, then the married couple would be able to actually enjoy their remaining years together. Partly as a result of now having a son-in-law they can torment. Now all that, while not necessarily the most pleasant, nevertheless seems very normal. That simply is the way of the world. For the majority of the world, that is all they can expect. Things will never be any better, for they live in this world, and whether willingly or not, consciously or not, are subject to the ways of this world. But this world is filled with sin, ruled by sin, subject to sin, and its inevitable ultimate destiny is the second death, which is eternal death. This conscious, continuous, unending state is far worse than anything we can ever imagine, regardless of how cruel some events are that some of us have to endure. For even in the worst of times on this earth, for those who refuse to obey God, the creator of them and everything, those who rebel and still living on this earth can still see with their eyes, hear with their ears, feel with their skin the remnants of the gloriousness of God that still infuses this creation. For even as depraved, decrepit, and decayed as this world has become from its initial perfection, still there is awesome beauty to behold. Gorgeous sunsets, towering mountains, exquisite birds and creatures, stunning blooms and floral displays, carpeting meadows, plains, and valleys, the starry skies, explosions of color and textures of the multitudes of life in the oceans, all of this bespeaks the glory of God. To say nothing of the people who obey Christ Jesus, the people of God currently inhabiting the earth are described by the Lord as what? Lights. As dark as the world has become, as the darkness is getting darker where it is currently reigning, the light, our lights, the light of Christ, is getting all the brighter where we are, where he is in us. The contrast is getting ever clearer and more obvious. last Thursday night's State of the Union address given by the person calling himself the President, Joe Biden, was probably the darkest such speech ever. I cannot bring myself to watch these things live, as I cannot stomach hearing lie after lie after lie. It offends me. It never ceases to amaze me that such people, living and wallowing in darkness, can pronounce torrents of lies and still maintain straight faces. Even worse, in their words, they ascribe the very ills they describe to us who are trying to remedy them. For the very ills are all the result of their own doings. It truly seems that they create these catastrophes, often resulting in killings and murders of innocent people, for the sole purpose that they can somehow blame us, the other side, as the perpetrators. Are these people that clever that they can turn any situation into a battering ram against the good people, the patriots, the believers, those obedient to Christ Jesus? Well, they're doing it. But let me tell you, they're not that smart. They're only human. Though many of our fellow human beings are in a state of lawlessness, of rebellion against God and His Christ, possess advanced degrees from prestigious colleges and universities, they're not wiser than anyone else. Though they may know more facts, figures, and data, actual or fabricated, they are, by definition, fools, because they do not know Christ Jesus. Most of them think their lives are their own, that they themselves are in control of their own destinies, that they're running their own lives. What fools. Now, all of us humans have spells when we're cocky and think we're running our own shows. Those of us who obey the Lord know better most of the time. And as time passes, more and more of the time. For as John the Baptizer said in John 3:30, it is necessary for Lord Jesus to increase and for me to decrease. And in verse 29, because of Christ Jesus' words, my joy is complete and overflows. This is how it is with us who truly believe, as we let Holy Spirit lead us more and more each day. We become more disciplined each day. We set aside time each day in prayer, in Bible reading, in just being alone with our Savior. We spend less and less time being distracted by all the entertainments and titillations of the world, and more time in quiet, peaceful contemplation of the beauties of our Lord and meditations on His love, grace, and goodness. We come to greater and greater understandings of our own sin and depravity, our hearts bursting with ever-increasing joy and thanksgiving for everything He has done for us. Even in the midst of our sufferings and the tribulations of this life, we know that we know that we know that He is with us through everything and despite everything. When we're with Him, if we keep our hands in His, everything will be right and good in the end. The forever end. The end for which there is no ending. Unlike the disobedient, for whom the second death awaits for all eternity, for us, eternal bliss, joy, happiness, peace, perfect contentment await us when we pass from this earth into our Creator and Father's arms. For there are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of this world, currently illegally occupied by the devil, and the kingdom of heaven, which was always meant to include this earth as well, and it will, as soon as Lord Jesus makes His second coming. Though people believe the devil's lies that even if there was or is a God, He didn't create us. He's irrelevant. We don't need Him for anything. Our lives are our own, and as our technological prowess is expanding by leaps and bounds, we'll soon transcend these imperfect human bodies and live forever in designer transhuman bodies that will never wear out or can be traded in over and over again. No more illness, no more aging. How wonderful that will be. No rules. We can do anything we want, anytime we want, however much we want. Ultimately, nothing will be impossible for us, or so many in the world today think. But they're all living a dream, actually a nightmare. They don't realize none of it is true. There'll be no forever free as a bird living, for the inevitable result of this rebellion is the second death by our self-destruction, our self-annihilation. If people can't see that World War III nuclear annihilation is nipping at our heels, then their eyes are closed. Our seeing rosy destinies portrayed in virtual reality headsets, they can't see they're living in total darkness. That, far from controlling their own lives, they are being controlled by the devil's demons. How else can one explain the vile hatred that spews from the mouths of climate activists, reproductive rightists, Jew haters, etc., whose shrieks and screams come straight from hell's bowels, which awaits their soon return? The other kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. Lord Jesus' kingdom becomes ever brighter, ever expanding, more powerful, as we who obey allow him to work and live in us. He is the rightful owner and Lord of all. To the extent that we're aligned with his will and ways, the world's ways give way to wherever we stand and move. For the more Christians there are in a place, the more godly, peaceful, prosperous, and free it is. Which is why we must always stand up and be counted as Christ's followers. Humans were never built to be independent creatures. We were given free will from the beginning to allow us to choose which of these two kingdoms we want. Though perfectly clear, the devil obscures the differences so that many people, in confusion, take what they see as the easy, best, appealing, prideful way, which leads to destruction. But those of us who choose God's way will soon take over this world, living in the mansions he's prepared for us forever in the light love of his presence. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the light and the source of all light and life. Help us to shine forth your light wherever we are and in whatever we do. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen.